Welcome to Horror Wars. I'm Amber Brooke, and you can follow me at amber.brooke32 on Instagram. First and foremost, not only is this show about putting OG horror films against their remakes, it's also, as you guessed it, a show about horror movies. With that in mind, please remember there will be some unsavory content discussed. That includes, but is not limited to, nudity, rape, torture, blood, viscera, carnage, violence, and the most controversial thing of all, spoilers. But seriously though, there could be anything in between you may get offended about. Just keep that in mind. And secondly, there's a lot of hard to pronounce names out there. Rob and Josh do their best, but they're not trained in how to correctly say all sorts of foreign names, so bear with them. Finally, if none of this bothers you, we've got nothing else to say. So get ready for a battle like no other. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Riffing on Horror Network.
Hello out there to all of our guys, gals, non-binary pals, spooky cuties, hair-raising homies, freaks, geeks, and anything in between with a butthole. I'm Rob.
I'm Josh.
And this is
Horror Wars.
We are the show that puts original horror movies against their remakes in an all-out war to determine which will reign supreme. We do this with a series of scores that we give to one or the other to see who comes out on top. This week, we have Shutter versus Shutter, the Thai original versus the American remake. But
not only that, we also have multiple segments throughout the show as well. Horror News is where we discuss current events going on in the horror world and our little old company too. Horror Club is where we review a horror film book club style and we'll provide a bit of background before we give it a grading of pass, rent, or buy.
And then we get into our top five list of the week, talk some horror video games, and then close up shop for the episode, answering questions and reading comments from you. So, I guess we should get right into it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And we're here. It's time for your news. What? I was trying to pretend to be that guy. The top five.
It's because you want to sing so bad.
I do. I really want to sing this episode.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I don't get it.
You were in the outtakes. Because there's like 1,000.
Yeah. There's a pretty good amount of outtakes this one. So do you want to go ahead and go and read the first bit of news we have for today, sir?
Yes. Terrifier 2 director Damien Leone teases an upcoming horror film with Sam Raimi's Ghost House Pictures. Oh, shit. Fresh off of last year's box office success, Terrifier 2, released in theaters by Bloody Disgusting in Sittingham, I guess, director Damien Leone is now teasing a collaboration with producer Sam Raimi. There is an original project I have in development with Ghost House Pictures, which is Sam Raimi's production company. So, if that happens, that would be amazing. He adds, I really hope that could happen before Terrifier 3, or it might happen right after. We'll see. Back up a second. Terrifier 3? Yes. Leone is planning on bringing Art the Clown and Syena back for at least one more movie, which he's currently writing as you're reading this. As for the project with Ghost House, no official announcement has been made at this time, and we're also in the dark about plot details. But be sure to stay tuned for more as we learn it.
And I just want to throw out before I read mine that all of the horror news for today has been provided by BloodyDisgusting.com. So go to Bloody Disgusting to get all your horror news, because that's where we get ours. The second and final bit of news that we have for today is that Five Nights at Freddy's filming has finally begun on the Blumhouse horror movie. As promised, production on Blumhouse's Five Nights at Freddy's has begun here early in 2023, with Jason Blum tweeting tonight that day one of filming is currently underway, which was like two nights ago, sorry.
Nice.
The film appears to be shooting under the faux title Bad Cupcake, as seen on the clapperboard in the photos Blum shared tonight. You can check those photos out at his Twitter and Instagram. Emma Tammy from The Wind is directing the Five Nights at Freddy's for Blumhouse. Lillard from 13 Ghosts and Scream. Mm-hmm. And Josh Hutcherson, Tragedy Girls. And isn't he the dude that fucking... No, that was Justin Chatwin. Never mind. I'm getting my mid-2000s white boys confused. Starring a long-anticipated video game adaptation alongside Mary Stuart Masterson from Skin. Jim Henson's Creature Shop has been hard at work on the monstrous animatronics. Tammy, Scott Cawthon, and Seth Cuddleback wrote the screenplay for Five Nights at Freddy's. Blumhouse is producing the film in association with Stricker Entertainment. Scott Cawthon and Jason Blum will produce the film. Russell Binder is an executive producer.
Which is awesome because Scott Cawthon is the creator.
The creator, yeah. So Scott Cawthon doing the script, being a producer, he's on fucking board, dude. Like, it feels like they're sparing no expense for this movie.
What's cool, too, is throughout the archives of our show, you can hear us talk about this every, like, couple episodes.
Yeah, because there was there's a couple movies that were going to be the Five Nights at Freddy's movie, mm-hmm. script-wise, but the script was sold and sold a couple more times, and those movies became, like, the Banana Splits movie, and then the other one with Nicolas Cage. I forget what it was called, though.
Yeah, I have no idea.
But it was basically Five Nights at Freddy's. Like, those two
were... Oh, yeah, because you talked about that last cast.
Yeah, those two were going to be Five Nights at Freddy's. They were originally Five Nights at Freddy's scripts. So, finally, we get it. But now with Scott Cawthon helping to write it. So, like, that's...
And that's what these live-action movies need to do for video games, is actually let the creators fucking work on it. Looking at you, Resident Evil.
Also, looking at Silent Hill for letting the creator actually work on it.
Yeah.
So that's why the Silent Hill movie was so good, because the creator worked on it. Yeah. So, and the reason why we've only got two bits of news today is because we do have about like five or six question things, like comments and questions in the area. So I kind of wanted to balance it out because we only had a couple of questions and comments last episode and then four bits of news. But now we've got like five or six questions or comments. I only wanted to go with a couple bits of news so we could, you know, still keep the podcast in a nicer, tighter form. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's get right
into news.
Fucking war.
It's time for stats, kills, phantasms, gore, and more. Let's get ready for the war.
Okay, we're here with the war. I can't wait, like Josh said, until, well, you guys didn't hear him say it, but we were token.
Yeah, we were earlier.
But speaking of that, we have to let everybody know what our smoke was before we started recording. I had some hot rod. How about you?
Mine was Ethan's cookies.
Ethan's cookies. All right, well, there you go. So here for the war portion of the show, as we said earlier, we put the OG against the remake. With this one, it's a little bit different because it's a Thai remake. Mm-hmm. So in an era where Japanese movies were being remade over and over and over again, well, you'll hear in a trivia, but we're going to have a series of... scores that we give to the OG and the remake. As with every episode, you're going to hear me unfold a piece of paper.
ASMR time.
So our categories that we do are acting, directing, writing slash plot, killer or killers, casting, soundtrack, gore, kills, pacing, time, environment, time period, and environment. We also have the two joke categories of nudity and porn, but Josh and I agree 100% that with this one there's rape involved, so we are not going to be utilizing the nudity or porn version of our joke categories.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of a written rule.
It's a written rule. You've plenty of times in the past where movies have had that, we've omitted the nudity and porn. So it's nothing new. It's nothing scandalous. We do this all the time. I was very surprised with my ratings. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But also, as the lovely and wonderful Amber Brooke says at the beginning of every episode, we try our best with these names. And Josh, unfortunately, has the OG today. It's the Thai version of the movie. And he's going to try his best to say the names. And
strap in, folks.
Strap in, everybody. So with that, sir, take it away.
I'm going to warn you, if you don't want to hear me struggling, you might want to click fast forward for like the next 30 or 40 minutes. Okay, so we're starting out with Shutter, the original, with a runtime of an hour and 37 minutes, with a release date being September 9th, 2004. Man, that was so long ago.
Right.
Produced by Yodfet Sudaswad. I think I got that one.
I think so.
Production companies, GMM Pictures and Phenomena Motion Pictures. The budget, no idea.
Nope, sorry, I couldn't find it. I apologize.
At the box office, it made $6 million in U.S. dollars. The screenplay was Benjong Pinsen Akun Sopan Sugdapistit. That's kind of a cool name. Seeing how they're written?
Yep.
That's really cool. Park Poom Wong Poom. That's sick as shit.
Yes, it is.
Directed by Banjong Pinsanathakun and Park Poom Wong Poom. Cinematography by Niraman Ross. I'm going to say Moss. Randy Moss.
Randy Moss.
Edited by Manop Boonapap. Music by Charchai Pong Prapan.
Yeah, you did it, dog.
Thanks, man. Where to watch? Currently, you're able to watch Shutter.
Sorry.
No, you're good. Streaming on Hoopla with a subscription or for free with ads on Vudu. It's also possible to rent or own Shutter digitally on Vudu. That's like the least amount of Where to Watches you've like ever had.
Yeah.
Ratings, a 7 out of 10 on IMDb, a 63% on Rotten Tomatoes, and 78% on Just Watch. Okay. I can say it. Plot. A young photographer and his girlfriend discover mysterious shadows in their photographs after a tragic accident. They soon learn that you cannot escape your past. Related media, none. Not even the remake.
Well, because they weren't...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Trivia. There's no more on IMDb. Number one. The film was remade in Telugu as Photo, 2006, and Tamil... In Tamil, I'm going to say Tamalia. In Tamil, Jesus, as Sivi, 2007, in Hollywood as Shutter, 2008, and in Hindi as Click, 2010.
Yep.
So those are four separate remakes.
Four separate remakes of this movie.
Holy shit.
Yep.
Number two, the phenomenon of capturing ghosts or evidence of the supernatural photos is known as spirit photography. This phenomena dates back as early as the 19th century, and it's the whole plot of Fatal Frame that we talked about in last episode in the gaming portion.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, the film was the biggest box office hit in Thailand in 2004 and was also a hit in Singapore, Malaysia, the Philippines, and Brazil. Number four, when Tun flees through the staircase, he encounters his former girlfriend's ghost at level four. Number four, in several Asian languages, pronounced similar as the word for death or suffering, and is considered a sign of bad luck. The number in Japanese specifically is a homophone for the character she, which means death. Number five, when Tun and Jane examine ghost photos affixed to a wall, there is a large photo of a ghost standing near bookshelves with tables in the foreground. This is a screenshot from the Willard Library Ghost Camp. Okay. The Willard Library is located in Evansville, Indiana. Oh, my God. USA, in recent years, has become very popular for its website, where visitors can view the webcams around 24 hours a day for paranormal activity.
Considering there's so many names here.
Very tough names to say.
Very tough. I'm gonna split it with you, and we'll see how far we can get.
Okay. So we just want to do every other one?
Yeah, that sounds...
Strap in, folks.
Yeah.
Ananda Everingham as Tun.
I'm silent because I'm trying to pronounce this in my head. Natawi Raunch Tongmi as Jane.
Achita Sikimana Nader, which is the ex-girlfriend.
Unap Chanpalbu as Ton.
That sounded really good.
Yeah, it
that
did.
Sounded good.
I did that. Okay.
Titi Karn. Oh my goodness. Tong Prasirth as Jim. So it's drastically different.
Sivagorn Mutamara as Meng. Want to try to give it one more shot?
Yeah. It's literally written like
Chaya.
That. Chelmpole as Ton's wife.
And
it's literally written like that, by the way.
Chaya.
It's C-H-A-C-H-C-H-A-Y-A. So I was not making fun of that name.
Chaya. No, it's Chaya. That's...
I like that you did the Geopet tune to it.
Yeah. And Kakoramasak Narubatar as T.
I give us like a C.
Yeah, we tried. So, man.
If you want to see the names, Google.
Yeah, Google is your friend on that.
Have
if
fun.
You want to see the rest of the names.
And if you think you're so great and laughing at us, why don't you record yourself saying their name and send it to us?
Yeah.
We'll make a compilation, and if you do it super well, then we'll just be like, wow, we suck.
We suck. Yeah, exactly. So I got the remake.
I just saw the ratings. Holy fuck.
Yeah, I scrolled down. But again, there's a lot of... Even though the OG was a Thai film, the remake leans very heavily into Japanese culture.
Mm-hmm. Like almost the whole movie is in Japan.
The whole movie's in Japan. Yeah, it's a remake, but it's also just like Japanese culture, because in Japan a lot of the photo things are a big thing too. So it's interesting that they took the original Thai one and turned it into Japanese. I don't know. I find it interesting. But there are a lot of Japanese names here, and I'm going to try my best. But, yeah. So the movie name Shutter. Runtime 1 hour and 30 minutes. Release date is March 21st, 2008. Produced by Takashige Ichis, Ichisei, Rory Lee, and Doug Davison. Production companies were Regency Enterprises, New Regency, and Vertigo Entertainment. The budget was $8 million. It made $48 million, y'all.
Yay.
Jesus Christ. I don't... It made $48 million. So many of us went to go see this fucking movie in theaters. Screenplay by Luke Dawson. Directed by Masayuki Ochai. Cinematography by Katsumi Yanagijima. Edited by Michael New and Tim Alverson. And music was by Nathan Barr. Currently, you're able to watch Shudder streaming on HBO Max, HBO, and DirecTV with subscription. It is also possible to rent or buy Shudder on Apple iTunes, Vudu, Microsoft Store, DirecTV, and AMC on demand digitally. Ratings. 5.2 out of 10 on Imdibidiba. 11% on Rotten Tomatoes. And strangely enough, 61% on Just Watch.
Good guy, Just Watch. Giving him like the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
Come on, guys. Don't be too mean.
Plot. A newly married couple discovers disturbing ghostly images and photographs they develop after a tragic accident. Fearing the manifestations may be connected, they investigate... Excuse me, and learn that some mysteries are better left unsolved. The related media is none. Trivia is three more on Imdibidiba. So, number one, although the original film Shutter 2004 is of Thai origin and set in Thailand, this film takes inspiration from Japanese culture set in Japan instead. This was because director Masayuki Ochai was more comfortable filming in his home country rather than flying to America to direct this remake. Number two, the part of Megumi was written specifically for actress Megumi Okina, with the part even bearing her name. Director Masayuki Ochai was a big fan of the Ju-on series, which was remade in America as the Grudge series, and wanted to cast her as a tribute to the series. He would go on to direct a series reboot, Ju-on: The Beginning of the End, in 2014. Number three, Shudder is unique in the fact that it's the first Western remake of a Thai horror film, as most of the remakes at that time came after The Ring in 2002 were Japanese originally. Number four, it's Megumi Okina's film debut in America, so this is before she was Keiko in the American remake of The Grudge.
Nice. So which we covered in the archives.
So it's, like we said outside, it's basically Dance Gavin Dance. She is Keiko, then becomes Megumi, then becomes Keiko again. So just like DGD had Johnny Craig, then fucking Kurt William, Kurt, damn, what the hell is his last name?
Kurt Travis?
Kurt Travis. I wanted to call him Kurt Williamson for some reason. Kurt Travis and then Johnny Craig again. So it's like going from your original to a different to original. So yeah, that's pretty funny. Number five, it was not screened for critics. Number six, Masayuki Ochai does not speak English, at least not fluently, so he had to have translators on set to help him communicate with the cast and crew. As a result, he could not record an audio commentary himself, so the Blu-ray and DVD commentary is instead done by Luke Dawson, the screenplay writer, Alex Sundell, executive producer, and Rachel Taylor. Number seven, Ben and Jane are said to be sharing the same age in a film. In real life, Joshua Jackson is actually 6 years, 1 month, and 3 days older than Rachel Taylor.
Holy shit.
The facts of this movie just really sucked. So I just was very sad writing them. Number eight, in photography, a shutter is a device that allows light to pass for a determined period of time, exposing photographic film or a light-sensitive electronic sensor to light in order to capture a permanent image of a scene. A shutter can also be used to allow pulses of light to pass outwards as seen in the movie projector or signal lamp. Number nine, Masayuki Ochai's directorial debut in America. And finally, number 10, Morase says something in Japanese to Ben and Jane, which causes Ben to panic and make him leave their home, and refuses to explain this to her. The dialogue was not subtitled, but his words had something to do with Megumi, and they translate to, "What you've done cannot be undone. You'll always be with her. I cannot and will not help you." So the fucked up thing is, if you're a Japanese person, sorry, if you're a Japanese person watching this, the movie was spoiled for you. Like, yeah. You're watching the movie in an American cinema, and you're just chilling with your friends, and or even if you know Japanese, and you're just sitting there. Could they be sued for that?
I don't know.
Like, that's fucked up, right? Because you're literally spoiling the movie before everything gets revealed that Ben's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, to be fair, they're both pieces of shit, but he's even worse.
Oh, yeah, he's horrible. I don't know, man. Either way, I'm so fortunate for having a very small cast. Because the cast for the Thai version of Shudder was still
very long.
25 more people. It was ridiculous. Sorry, I wanted to take a sip of my coffee. ASMR time for you guys. Joshua Jackson as Benjamin Ben Shaw. Rachel Taylor as Jane Shaw.
Beautiful woman.
Yes.
I loved it. Wine and dine her.
Megumi Okina as Megumi Tanaka.
Also, I would love the wine and dine her. Beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. John Hensley as Adam, also who I would like to wine and dine.
Isn't the dude from The Office also
beautiful? I don't know. David Denman as Bruno. He's got a very strong jawline.
Yeah.
I like his jawline. And then when he just like starts sprinting in the movie, I'm like, what the fuck? James Kyson Lee as Ritsuo. Daisy Betts as Natasha. Beautiful. Maya Hazen as Seko Nakamura.
Also beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yoshiko Miyazaki as Akiko.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Very beautiful cast, I'll be honest
with you. Yeah, super beautiful. Even Kai Yamamoto as Murase. He's old, beautiful Japanese man. He is. So now it's time for us to actually get down into the trenches with this one.
I got some notes I took in the middle of those. Let's talk about the movie a bit, shall we?
I'm loving Josh's notes. That's the little nice little segment within this here. It's like Josh's notes. He does these notes now for like his version of the film, the OG, you know, whichever one he's covering. And I love them because it'll give me something to bounce off with the remake.
I have some for remake too.
Oh my God, look at you go, motherfucker. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Look at you go.
Mm-hmm. So I would describe and I write these as I'm watching it, so they're all just genuine reactions.
Okay.
So I will say about the original, it's, do you remember, this is going to show our age a little, do you remember when you see it bricks pictures? Where it would be like,
oh, when you see it, bricks will be shat.
Yeah. You just see something like peeking at you through a window in a picture.
Yeah, and it's like that was pretty much this thing. Yeah. It was. Yeah, you're right.
It's also, I called it a jumping off the roof simulator because that was the only way people were dying in the original.
Yeah.
And wait, what was the other one? And it was I don't know how many fucking scenes had the I hear a noise across the room, I need to go investigate, where they were like in the world's longest hallway, like walking as slow as possible. Oh my God,
yeah. Like those fucking scenes were brutal.
I'm not gonna read all of them. Oh, when they were driving about halfway through it, and remember they showed the ex like peeking through the passenger side window, mm-hmm. and then she was in the front. Mm-hmm. Well, when they showed her peek in the passenger side window, it made me think of the Jesus take the wheel vine where the dude's driving and someone dressed as like Jesus reaches in. Yeah. Like that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy the no, never mind. I'll wait till we get to the scorecards. When his friend jumped out the window, didn't it, like, the way he was falling, didn't it look like when Uncle Phil throws Jazz out of the door on Fresh Prince?
Yeah. And I was really sad that they, like, this is just the fucking horror movie person in me. Like, I wanted to see him follow through after the jump. Like, mm-hmm. I wanted to see that splatter.
I also liked when he goes to, he's taking a shit and he wants some toilet paper. He goes into the stall and like they showed the hand with the like the painted nails.
Yeah.
And it's a lady boy, as they called it in the movie.
Yep.
And when he kicks open the door, he's like, can I at least poo first? Like that was the subtitle. That was fantastic. Yeah. I was dying.
Yeah, absolutely fucking done. So you got any more you want to read or do you want to get into the cards?
I was just going to say with the remake, just the two like immediate sex scenes within the first 10 minutes of the film was weird. I don't like that the movies were the remake was just the original out of order, like you said, which is the perfect way to describe it because it really is.
Yeah. To be fair, I said that outside just so, because when Josh and I get together, we're going to talk about the fucking episode a little bit. You know, we don't talk about a lot because we really like to share our reactions with each other, like as we're reading things that we've said and how we feel, but you know, we do have little bits of conversation, and this is one of those cases, like the movie is just formatted differently.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that I brought up outside, like it's literally the same movie but they're just in different spots.
If I could describe these two as well, it's one does too much and one does too little. Like with the remake, when they started to add, like, remember when the flies were coming out of his mouth?
Yeah.
Like, that's so not necessary for that. And And then again with the original, it's like those very long, like walking across the room slowly to see the flickering light shit. Like there's too much room in the original, and there's like too much trying to be like more horrific than the original from the remake. For me. I also don't like the fact that the crash in the remake immediately showed that she was like a zombie ghost thing, because in the original, she just, they pass out and then the body's gone.
Right.
Not, you know, you see the girl slowly crawling up and then they pass out. Like that's too, the remake had too early of a reveal that it was an actual haunting ghost warning.
Yeah.
I just don't like that.
Yeah. So I think now's definitely a good time to get into the cards. Because as much as I agree with you on all those points, I'm very surprised at what won for me.
Okay.
So for acting, I went with OG.
I went with remake.
Why did you go with the remake for acting?
I don't know. I found the original acting like kind of bland.
I could feel that. Like, I think the reason why I went with OG is because, and this is just my thoughts. I find it to be bland too, but I also find it like the movie was basically just human conversations. Like none of them really felt scripted.
Okay.
It felt like this is shit that people would actually say in real life.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference for me because, you know, the American version is very polished, very clean. It's in those dark blues and sepias, you know, of the time, you know, with the greenish corners.
Mm-hmm.
We've discussed this plenty of times, but I think I liked the people more because they felt like everyday people.
Yeah.
And that's why I gave it to acting.
Okay.
So, what about directing? What did you give?
I gave that to the OG.
And I gave it to the remake.
Oh shit.
Nope. Because one of the main reasons why I didn't give it to the OG is because of the long fucking corridor halls. That's also going to go with like cinematography and stuff like that. But I just like the pacing of the remake more. And I think the director did a much better job with that pacing.
See, for me with original, I even though, you know, besides the long hallway shots, I felt like it was a good progression into them, like the reveal towards the end, when I feel like it was almost like we automatically know that the boyfriend, to me, in the remake was up to something right off rip.
Right off rip.
Like super pushy and like, you know, let's avoid it. I'm not your fucking dad. Like that whole line.
Yeah, he was like, he was kind of a dick.
Yeah, I don't know. But I just feel like if they did take out those things, it would have been like an S tier movie. The long shot shit.
Right.
But when it comes to directing, I just feel like it was a better progression.
All right, let's see if the tradition continues with this one. For writing plot, I gave to the remake.
I gave to OG.
Okay. Much like the reason why you said you don't like the remake because they did too much with too little, that's the reason why I like the remake, because I did like the way that they changed the story to make it actually have a bigger plot. I'm one for big reveals and kind of goofy reveals, and this one had both. So I went with the writing / plot of the remake for that reason. So what about you? Why did you go with the OG?
I don't know. I like it more of like, it was a like the plot. I enjoyed more of like the ghost, because in the original it was, you know, you let me get sexually assaulted, all that stuff.
Okay,
and it's more of getting revenge in a sense.
Right.
In the remake, it was kind of her warning the new wife. I don't know. It was like when she was pushing her, like she's like, he never fucking loved you. And she's pushed up against the glass and all. It seemed too much of like a personal, like, I'm just going to. It's because I'm a yandere in Japanese culture, where I'm obsessed with my boyfriend, will kill anyone for him.
Right.
When it's the other one seemed more like a regular curse compared to just like an obsessive curse, even after death, because of love.
Okay. No, I get that. I definitely do.
So, yeah, that's fine for me.
Now, with the killer, I went with the OJ.
I went with the OJ.
Okay, because Natire or Natir or however you want to pronounce it, she's just fucking horrifying.
Right, and like even the effects for her when she was like spitting up the blood and teeth and stuff, it was really good practical effects. And I didn't like, again, with how they made the ex-girlfriend, Megumi.
Yep.
I don't like how they just made her like weirdly sexual.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the long tongue kiss and like when she took her shirt off and she had like weird tar on her back. It didn't fit. Yeah,
it didn't fit. Right. No, you're right. Absolutely. And then just Natire or whatever. Yeah. She's just her eyes were so fucking like dead. It was just, oh, it was perfect. So the casting, I gave that to the remake.
I also gave it to remake.
Literally, probably because of the same reason. Even though I feel like the remake's acting was compared to the OJ, you know, not even different.
No.
But I feel like it was cast better than the OJ.
Yeah, but it again falls back into me going back to acting that I gave the remake. They just feel like better actors in general. Like, I feel like everyone in the Thailand movie was like more new to the acting
scene. And hence the reason why I gave the acting to the OG, because it just felt like more people.
Yeah, it just felt like you were just a fly in the room, right, like in the corner.
So for soundtrack, I gave to the remake.
I gave to the original, and the only reason is for me, both of them just have shrieking and the and all that. I just really like the Elvis type music for the credits of the original.
Okay, yeah.
So that's why I picked.
Okay, fair enough. I picked soundtrack because I just kind of like the piano music that they played.
For which one? You said you picked soundtrack.
The remake.
Okay, remake.
Yeah. I just like the piano music that they played in the remake, like with like the kind of like those scenes of like buildings being panned up and down, like, you know, those kind of quote unquote beautiful shots. Again, I'm a cinematography whore. So when you put beautiful images and then beautiful music together, that's just my fucking bag.
You must love James Bond films, because that's like 30 minutes of the intro is just him flying in a jet.
I actually fucking hate James Bond films.
Oh, shit. Hot take.
I really do.
I was going to say, even hotter. I've never even watched one.
You want to know?
I've only seen clips.
Same.
Nice.
Yeah. I've never seen a James Bond movie. Never care to see a James Bond movie because I know everything about them. Even though I've never seen them, I know the plots of all of them.
It's because everyone
talks about them so much. Like, yeah, it's wild. But anyway, that's James Bond cast.
Digress.
Not Horror Wars. The gore / kills I gave to remake. I felt like it was gorier than the Japanese or Thailand one.
See, this is where I kind of get fucked because we can't tie them because they're both just kind of meh.
Oh yeah, they're super mid.
I gave it to original, but just because like I didn't really like the kills in remake that much, like the fucking camera in the eye.
Yeah, I thought it was cheesy, but
I thought that like kills both were shit, but I gave it to OJ.
Okay. Pacing, as I said earlier, I went with the remake, but that's because I think we can agree at this point you're very much of a slow burn, but when you get to you like a slow burn, but then you like that action. And I like action, slow burn, action.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of like the pattern that I like.
Yeah.
And the remake pacing went with the action, slow burn, action. And that's how come I like it. And I think you went with the OG because you like the slow burn, action.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what the Thailand one did.
So,
so they literally fit both of us perfectly with our feelings when it comes to pacing.
Nope.
It hit us right in the fucking flappy folds. For time period, I actually went hand in hand with environment on this one. I felt like it was definitely more of a 2008 kind of feel. The environment I felt fit better for Japan. So for time period and environment, I went with the remake because I feel like they tied in so well together, especially with the remake's colors and contrasts and the way that they were being handled at the time. And like, even the Japanese photographer, you know, Gaijin photographer shit was kind of big in the late 2008 area. So I feel like it definitely fit everything more for the Japanese culture than it did the Thailand culture.
Okay. For the time period, I went with the remake just because it's more of a digital time.
Digital age, yeah.
Only 4 years later, but I feel like, you know.
Oh, yeah, so much.
The boom of selfies and all that shit kind of was starting to rise on that shit.
Yeah.
And then for the environment, I went with, what did I say for time period? I already forgot.
Time period, you said you went with remake.
Yeah. And then for environment, I went with OG just because Thailand doesn't have as much technology as that. So Polaroid pictures kind of being the way they see the ghost makes more sense. I don't know why. I've always kind of considered that old timey technology being able to see ghosts. That's why I like the old powder ones from like the
1600s. Yeah, no, I definitely get what you're saying.
So like, that's why.
Yeah, because weirdly enough, everybody associates ghosts with like Victorian era.
Right.
And with like, I don't know. Yeah, I totally agree with it. Like, I can't wait until we start seeing like modern ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where are those motherfuckers at? I want to see somebody wearing a Billie Jean t-shirt. I'm tired of these bitches in long dresses and fucking white gloves.
Yeah.
Give me somebody wearing like a fucking Jason Voorhees mask, but it's just some dude named Joe who really liked Jason Voorhees. That's what I can't wait for. So for me, I gave the remake 8 scores and the OG 2.
6 to OG for me and 4 for remake.
So that gives 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 to the remake. And what did you say? 4, 6, 6, 7, 8.
6 for OG for me.
So it's 8 to 12. The remake, unfortunately, won. And that's why I said I was surprised with my scoring, because I liked the...
Hope you enjoyed me hitting you with my paper.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was fine. I liked the Thai version better when it comes to like just...
If we weren't breaking it down in the categories, if I was going with the whole movie, like just comparing the whole movies in total, I think OG is better than remake.
Okay. So, of course, that's going to lend us to the ending of the war. What would you take from what?
I would definitely put the cast from remake in that shit because
yeah.
The females to me are so beautiful. Oh my goodness. Absolutely. I could watch that movie a million times just for them.
Yep.
I would keep the Natair or whatever, the ex-girlfriend from the original. I would keep the way they handled her better because she was way scarier.
Yeah, and I would probably keep that actress as well.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. That's what I mean.
I love the girl who played Keiko, but she's Keiko.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, you know.
I kind of like the more villagey type area of remake or of the original. Okay. I didn't like the super like in the middle of Tokyo kind of thing. I would prefer my stuff like that to be more in the countryside of somewhere, you know,
versus
I mean?
A mega opera. Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, the plots are pretty much the same besides a few changes in remake, like with the flies and handling situations different. And the bed scene was a little weird, but hey,
right.
I definitely thought he was going to get sucked off like right in the first 2 minutes. Cause she was on her knees. I was like, whoa, bro, is this porn?
Yeah.
Did I watch the wrong movie?
Right. With me, my perfect version of the movie would be set exactly where it's at, Japan, with the colors, the tones, the music, the pace being what it is. But I would definitely I would keep the actors, as you said, same thing with Megumi and Natire. I would switch those. But I would definitely have the plot of the Thai version.
Okay.
With the actors of the American version. Because even though I like that frantic, slow burn action, I feel like this movie probably could have benefited from being action, slow burn or no, Slow Burn Action Action. Mm-hmm. I feel like it could have benefited from that, and I would have liked to have seen it play out with the American cast and the Thailand Natire. So, yeah, that would be kind of like perfect one for me.
I'd also like to throw in that they made Ben like a villain compared to the original. Yeah, like, even though they're both pieces of shit for not doing anything and letting that happen, right. He seemed more like, yeah, I just wanted it to happen so she would leave me the fuck alone. Like, they made him a piece of shit.
He literally was just like, I wanted her to leave me alone. Like, he was a piece of shit. Yeah, that movie infuriated me for the way that Ben was, but yeah. So I guess that's it for the war, right?
Yeah, that's the war.
How about we take some time to relax? Cozy up book club style for a few minutes and let's have a chat with the Horror Club.
And here we are for Horror Club.
The Club of Doom.
The Club of Doom. This is the little area of our show where we do a book club style review of a horror movie. And at the end, we will give it a grading of pass, rent, or buy. And this week we have, or this episode, I should say, because we're not weekly. This episode, we have a movie that Rob genuinely and 1000% fears and hates. This was only the second time I've seen the movie. And we'll talk about more after we are done with the movie introductions.
Okay.
So I'll go first, and then you can do the plot, and I'll do the starring, and you do the film fact.
Okay.
Much like with, you know, how we do it every week for these, or every episode. So the movie's name is Sinister. Release date, October 12th, 2012. Runtime, 1 hour and 50 minutes. Budget, $3 million. Box office, this motherfucker made bank.
Mm.
$87.7 million.
Deserved, in my opinion.
Deserved. Very much deserved. I'm not going to deny this movie. I will not. Production companies were Alliance Films, Automatic, Blumhouse Productions, and I Am Global. Produced by Jason Blum and Brian Cavanaugh-Jones.
Mm.
Screenplay by C. Robert Cargo and Scott Derrickson. Directed by Scott Derrickson. Cinematography by Christopher Knorr. Edited by Frederick Thorval. Music by Christopher Young. And the plot. A controversial true crime writer finds a box of Super 8 home movies in his new home, revealing that the murder case he is currently researching could be the work of an unknown serial killer whose legacy dates back to the 1960s. Starring Ethan Hawke as Ellison Oswalt, Juliette Rylance as Tracy Oswalt, Fred Thompson as Sheriff, James Ransom as Deputy So-and-So,
mm-hmm.
Michael Hall DeDario as Trevor Oswalt, Claire Foley as Ashley Oswalt. Nick King portrays Bagul or Mr. Boogie. Victoria Lee as Stephanie. Cameron Ocasio as Barbecue Boy. Danielle Koch as Lawn Girl. Ethan Haberfield as Pool Party Boy. Blake Mizrahi as Sleepy Time Boy. And Vincent D'Onofrio plays Professor Jonas.
The must-read film fact. The Pool Party, 66 snuff film, and Sinister was extremely difficult to film, according to C. Robert Cargill. The actors/actresses who played the doomed family were tied down to lawn chairs and pulled underwater in reality, and the filmmakers had to be extremely careful that no one was harmed while filming the scene took place. Further complications occurred while filming the killer underwater. Nicholas King, Bagul, had to wear weights and stay underwater for several seconds where he was filmed. Since the scene was filmed entirely on Super 8 film, care had to be taken to ensure that the camera was properly rolling and that the cartridge and light meter were working. Otherwise, the scene would have to be reshot numerous times. That is terrifying.
That is absolutely horrifying. Some more film facts. the family that was hung in the beginning were actually hung. They had to hurry up and get them cut down because the rig was wrong.
Holy shit.
And they were legitimately being fucking hung.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Also, there's a fact that I know. Ethan Hawke never saw those footage things. Yep. So every reaction he has was genuine.
Yep. Genuine reaction to all that shit. It was pretty crazy. A lot of things happened behind the scenes on this one. I definitely recommend going and checking out IMDb because...
Which those who don't know is IMDb.
It's IMDb. Yeah, we just say it in IMDb. Sorry. But yeah, IMDb.com has a lot of really amazing facts about this movie. And they genuinely scare me as much as this movie does. And... we'll talk about that as we go into our talking points. Okay. So for those that have been following along, we have what we call talking points. It is very familiar to the war portion of our show. We go with acting, directing, writing slash plot, killer, casting, soundtrack, gore slash kills, and pacing. We feel like those are very good when it comes to the barometer of... what we need to talk about. So that's what we went with. And then at the end, we're going to give you a grade of pass, rent, or buy. So, sir, how do you feel about the acting on this one?
Ethan Hawke did a fantastic job.
The whole cast did amazingly.
Like, even from, like, the little kid actors.
Yeah.
Terrifying. The drawing on the wall with the tree and the little girl's just eyes being, like, as wide as the moon. Terrifying scene. Good stuff. Like, so, it never felt hammy in any way either.
Right. Yeah. Because, you know, sometimes when you use kid actors, they don't do what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So the directing. Yep.
It had a good direction. I mean, the it even goes in the writing and plot. The plot was fine. Just a new boogeyman, another possession haunting. And now that I think about it, Bagul kind of looked like Kane with a white mask.
I think Bagul looked like Mick Thompson from Slipknot.
Okay.
Number 8.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's, yeah. It's but still, Bagul was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just wearing the fucking suit with the face mask and then, like, the long hair. That shit's horrifying.
Well, it was supposed to be that his brother, Moloch, filled his mouth with ash and, like, sealed it. But it looks like a mask.
Yeah, exactly. Until the end.
Yeah.
By the way, spoilers. We're going to be talking about a movie that's
pretty old. 2012. 11,
yeah, 11 years old now, but still spoilers. So like you said, the writing and plot perfectly fine. Same thing with directing. They go hand in hand with each other. It's great. Mr. Bagul.
Pretty plain Jane. You know, you're taking little kids and eating their souls.
Right.
You know, but kind of possession guy.
I do like the fact that it's based on what it's based on.
Right.
And
also, you can consider the kids killers, too, because, again, they're technically the killers of the movie as well.
Yeah, exactly. They're the ones that do the actual killing. Mm-hmm. I mean, even though the Pied Piper is the one that's directing them to do it, they're the one doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think the lore of Bagul is also really awesome, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's perfect right there. And then casting, I think that killed it. That goes without saying. The soundtrack.
Your typical shrieking.
I didn't find it to be that at all. I think the soundtrack and the visuals of the soundtrack with the Super 8, I think that's what really gets me.
Okay.
Because the crackling, and I'm a very auditory person. I'm one of those ones that can listen to music and hear how many different layers are in a song or this or that. So when I'm watching a movie with my headphones on, I can hear so much. And that's what was, like, really fucking with me yesterday. Those Super 8 grainy, poppy, crackling recordings with that music and the way that it was kind of off-centered, and there was like a weird heartbeat rhythm to it. Like it was just something that really fucked with me. Like the auditory shit in that movie was just I don't know. And then like the cinematography, I absolutely adored the cinematography 100%, as well. Yeah. It was just beautifully done. The colors were fucking amazing. Everything was just wild, but that cinematography goes with the Super 8. So it's like you're hitting me visually, audibly, you're hitting me with every fucking thing that is going to fuck with me. And I think that's why this movie does such a good job fucking with me, because I don't like kids in horror movies being used or being killed or anything like that. And then you take that and that's what it is. Like that shit fucks with me. And Bagul, just the way like he's done, I really enjoyed it. But again, it's that Pied Piper. It's that Japanese drifloon, you know, your kids will get taken from you. That shit's always frightening as a parent, because I don't want to wake up one day and neither of my kids be in their fucking bed.
Yeah.
Like that's what fucks with me in this movie. Yeah. So Gorin kills. Told you I was going to let it go at some point.
Pretty good. I mean, it was tame to the point of no, like you don't see really blood or anything.
Right.
The hanging one is probably the longest death scene where you actually see them die.
Yeah.
The other one's kind of cut off, like the lawnmower, which fucked me up the most.
Oh, lawnmower was just, it's brutal. Yeah.
But, the kills are good. Even though it's mostly just implied stuff, it's still, it seems more realistic of a way for someone to be killed in most ways. Like it's no one getting their head hit off by a kid with a shovel. You know what I mean? Like they get fucking launched like a T-ball.
Right.
It feels more like what they would do because they were technically drugging the families to be able to kill them.
Yep. Because how else are you going to kill a fucking family?
Yeah. How's a 6-year-old going to kill their whole family?
Which
technically the drug was the goo from Bagul, because he was glowing with that shit on his hands.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I just like the uncomfortableness of the hanging.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really what it was, like that music that was playing, the Super 8, the slow motion of it all.
It also makes you uncomfortable because of how long that scene is. Yeah. That's like at least the 3-minute scene of a hanging.
And dude, that's how they begin the movie.
Yeah, but before it even says Sinister, like no title card yet.
Yeah, you open up the fucking movie with the Super 8 film playing and the family standing on their little thing and then getting fucking hung.
Mm-hmm.
No words, no nothing, just the music and the fucking Super 8 crackling. Like that shit fucked me up the moment that I saw that. Like from the door, I was like, yeah, this is going to be wild. So, pacing.
It was good. I liked the progression because it was cocky author, finds these tapes and it's reported in, but sees that he could make a book and become the hero. Yep. And then it just slowly goes downhill from there. It's fantastic. It's definitely good pacing.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like there was like any wasted scenes or over the top like info dump at some point. It was all nice and smooth.
Yeah. Like a nice cylindrical poop.
Yes.
Yep. So then what would you give it? Based off of everything that we have discussed, would you give this movie a pass, rent, or buy?
I would definitely say a buy. If you can buy, I would buy. It's a good film.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm pretty sure it was in like my top 10 when we did
it. It's in my top 10 as well. I hate this movie, but not in a bad way. I hate this movie because of how many of my senses it hits. I hate this movie because of what it personally does to me and the way that I understand visuals and audible shit like that. That's, it hits me right in my fucking foldy flaps as the theme of the episode goes today. I definitely would say buy this as well. 1000%. And yeah, you got anything else you'd like to throw into it?
Nope, it's just a good film. Definitely watch.
Yeah, 1000%.
Everyone loves the top five. What will Rob and Josh be counting down this week? Find out as they discuss The List.
Thank you, Amber, for that lovely introduction. Fuck it, I'm not even going to try. Everybody by now, well, not by now. This is going to go in before the end of the episode, but we forgot to record the list. And we talk about it at the end of the episode, so I'm not going to pretend that we didn't forget to record about it. Yeah. So, spoilers for the end of the episode.
Whoa, man, I can't wait to hear the people. We totally haven't done that part yet.
Yeah, we totally haven't done that part yet. Our bad, but you'll understand. It actually will make things much more understandable when you get to there. So this one was a little bit rough because Sinister and Shutter are both movies that take place within the movies. You see pictures and videos and stuff of the killers. So this one is top five horror films with ghosts in pictures. That means video, paintings, Polaroids, digital, whatever you can say, because I didn't want to limit it to one fucking form of,
because that would have been super niche.
Super niche and hard. Yeah. So we do have a top five. I would like to let Joshua go first with his number five.
Number five for me is the original Poltergeist.
Okay, I dig it because television shit was fucking wild. It almost made it on my list. It almost did.
Honorable mention.
It's an honorable mention for sure. My number five is House on Haunted Hill from 1999.
Which we have covered.
Which we have covered in the archives. That fucking basement scene with the doctors and like him having to look into the shit in order to see it. Oh my fucking God, dude. What is your number four?
It's Unfriended. Like the start of the like Omegle's group chat horror movies, films where it was possessing like the computer and all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
It would make videos pop up of them and all that. So Unfriended from like 2012, I think it was.
Yeah, I totally get that. That would probably fall in like a top 10 for me.
Okay.
Number four, Stir of Echoes from 1999.
Didn't we cover that before?
We covered Stir of Echoes too.
Yep.
For me, like my personal list, not our joint list, but my personal list, Stir of Echoes is a gem.
Okay.
It's a hidden gem. Yeah, it's just fucking crazy. And what's your number three, sir?
The Ring.
Of course, the one that started it all.
Yep.
The one that took the fucking cake.
Which we have covered in the archives.
Number three for me is going to be Candyman from 1992.
Ooh.
Yeah, dude. That movie was fucking wild.
Which we've covered.
What's your number two?
It's Paranormal Activity, the first one.
I like that.
Thank you.
I like that. And you know what? I like how different our lists are, too.
It's nice.
Because we opened it up so much that it was capable of being like this. So my number two is Beetlejuice from 1988.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Thank you. I thought it was a perfect little toss-in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And what's your number one, dog?
Sinister. It's like it's in my top 10 favorite movies of all time, so.
My number one.
Oh shit!
Sinister. We got to do the high five.
I was already there.
Yep. You were like in my face.
You can even go back to that top 10, and it's in my top 10.
So. Yeah, it's in my top 10 as well. And but see, the thing is, like, I never explained why it was in my top 10 until today.
Gotcha.
So, but yeah, awesome. So now we're done recording the episode.
Do we say goodbye again?
No,
we didn't. No, okay. Well, enjoy the next segment.
Enjoy the next segment. Hey there. Y'all are sexy. We're almost done with the episode now. we're going to get into a little bit of horrors of gaming here. And we've only got one thing that we're going to talk about this week. Just one. Just one. And Josh doesn't even know it yet. He's flying in brand new to this. Sir, can you explain to me Raingate from the new Resident Evil 4 remake?
Oh, are you talking about how everyone's bitching about that, like, the rain is, like, ruining the game because it runs at, like, 30 FPS? Gamers are so entitled, dude. Like, they're gonna fucking iron it out. It's not like it's a fucking reveal trailer to show a little more. Calm the fuck down.
Dude, the fucking uproar that this little fucking, what, 12-second scene in the trailer?
Yeah, it's him fucking walking. It's not that big deal. You're not even in the rain for a majority of the game. It's for like two sections. Relax.
Right, right. And literally a texture pack of this nature is going to be like 1 kilobyte, guys.
It's like,
calm down.
It's like, bro, it'll be fine.
I'm always one of those people that, like, I really check out water in video games. Okay. Like, it began with Wave Race 64.
Mm-hmm.
Where I was like, oh my God, this is the best water will ever be in a video game. And then look at it now. Like, it's just ridiculous. But I think that people are going insane over this because it is 2023 and they're so demanding of things. But it's like you said, how can you not understand that this is just a little snippet of a little portion that's going to be ironed out before the game comes out?
You send me a trailer of any video game where it looks like the finished product when it came out.
Yeah. No, I agree. But I will say, this is actually something else that we can talk about. I went back and watched the trailer for Dead Island a couple nights ago.
One of the best, honestly.
And honestly, yeah, I think that that's one of the absolute best video game trailers of all time.
The reverse, like basically the whole thing being in reverse and telling a story is fantastic.
Yeah, being reverse and going forward at the same time until they meet in the middle.
And I'm surprised you even like it because it involves a little kid being dead.
I know. Ain't that about a motherfucker?
I would say definitely watch that trailer. I've never even played the game, but I have seen that trailer like a million times.
And I've got that song on my playlist on Spotify because that song is just striking. And it goes super fucking well with the trailer. But yeah, how do you feel about Dead Island 2 finally coming out after being announced in, what, 2012 or 2008?
And it's got like the Kingdom Hearts release date kind of shit going on.
Yeah,
it's cool. I mean, I if it looks good, I'll probably have to give the first one a try too.
Did you see them talking about the physics, the zombie physics?
Mm-mm.
I don't remember. I think it's called Flesh. Where the physics are is you can hack away at them and it'll start taking pieces and pieces and pieces away. So you're actually like, if you hit them with a hammer multiple times, you can break their jaws in.
That's cool.
And you can like rip them off. And
what the fuck?
Yeah, dude. Like, and when you rip off limbs or cut off limbs, you actually see the sinew and bone and like you can see everything. Like
a way too detailed game.
But yeah, it's called the Flesh System. They just talked about it yesterday in the news. So I think that's a little bit of a good video game chunk today.
Yeah.
You got anything that you want to bring to the table with it?
Dead Space Remake is amazing.
Ooh, yeah. The Dead Space Remake is amazing. I've seen some gameplay of it like in my brief time period that I can this week. Yeah, I think it looks good.
I'm not super duper far in, but from what I can tell, they've added a lot, but in a good way.
And even from the screen comparisons, like the 30 FPS to the 60 FPS.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful no matter what.
I'm probably going to play it when I go home, to be honest with you.
That's fantastic. Yeah, so we were going to talk about The Last of Us, but I've been so busy at work. I did not get a chance to see any of the episodes. I barely got the chance to see the three movies today for the episode, but I will watch all of the episodes in the next 2 weeks because things will be slowing down at work. And I'm getting more comfortable in my position that I'm in, like with inventory and all that. So I'll be able to chill.
That'll be perfect because it will be, you know, day before my birthday cast.
Exactly.
And so, we can talk about Last of Us, which is, again, is another one of my favorite games. Favorites.
Yeah, we're going to talk about, we'll get to that at the end here after we're done the segment. So let's go ahead and end this so we can get into the people and finish up with a little bit of a news for episode 38.
But I don't feel like smiling.
Do you have something you want to say about the show? Something you want to ask about the show? Anything horror in general? Well, it's time to talk to the people.
And as promised, we are back with the final segment of the episode. Why don't we do the people first, and then we'll get talking about episode 38, just to have some nice little stuff to talk about. So Rilo, our newest correspondent, the newest team member who will be doing her podcast soon and her show soon, she's actually getting over a bout of pneumonia and COVID.
Oh my God.
At the same fucking time. So she's being a boss ass bitch, and speedy recovery to her. And we'll be seeing her stuff soon. So her question was, who would not be able to beat Freddy Krueger? It has nothing to do with this, but as you know, we accept all questions and comments and stuff. So who would not be able to beat Freddy Krueger?
Not be able to beat him? Well, apparently Jason.
Yeah, because Jason got fucking fucked.
And even though he chopped his head off, he was still alive technically at the end of the film. So
right, exactly.
So Jason couldn't.
If Jason can't, who the fuck can?
Yeah, exactly.
I think
Hellraiser.
The Hell Priest, yeah. I think the Hell Priest could probably Candyman.
Yeah.
And honestly, maybe Beetlejuice.
So yeah, because everything else, they're mostly just humans for the most part. Yeah. Unless you're bringing in like these mystical beings, and I mean,
right. And of course, that's a different thing. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Freddy's like a sleep god or whatever.
He sounds like a rapper.
Sleep god. But yeah, other than that, when you take him out of that realm, and if you bring in something like fucking Sandman, or, you know, some shit like that.
My big fat pussy.
His big fat pussy, or like the King in Yellow, or anything. You're Narlathep, Cthulhu. Those guys would fucking eat Freddy Krueger alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if you're talking like movie killers and stuff like that, I think your best bet would be the Hell Priest and Candyman. So that's it. Now the next three are from Neo Zodiac himself, our horror review extraordinaire guru. Do you feel that the quick turnaround on some of the Oriental to American remakes was intentional? This one was about 4 years. I think we actually discussed this previously. And we discussed the next question as well. Do you think those quick turnaround were good or bad for each industry? I think they destroyed the industries.
Mm-hmm.
They were...
It just became all remakes at one point?
Yeah, it just became remakes. Everything was... They were pumping them out in Japan so quick because they wanted to get those remakes.
Go
they
back.
Wanted...
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no. I was going to say they wanted that American money super fast.
Like, you can even go back into our archives where we covered a lot of the Oriental remakes and the originals. And I mean, it was like
our phase. It was like six episodes.
Yeah, it was like six episodes. And that goes to show. And listen to the dates we say, because they're all fairly close in dates and years. It's fucking crazy.
And that's why I said we talked about it before. But yeah, I think it, because we unintentionally did kind of like a chronology. We were doing like the 1960s remakes, then we did like the Japanese remakes, and you know, I think that was also pretty cool, like what we do when we have our little arcs.
Yeah.
And we kind of go through the histories of certain things. Like it's cool. But yeah, I think the turnaround was really bad because each company too, they were trying to produce as many fucking films in Japan to get picked up by America. And America was scouring those films to see how many they could pick up.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just bad
all around for everybody in the industry. And that's why it only lasted from 2004 to 2008 or nine. It was flash in the pan. It came and went, and that's pretty much it. You can't really find a remake of a Japanese movie now in American.
Mm-hmm.
They really stay away from them. And the last question he asked, well, the last question regarding Shudder is, how many times do you think the original creator watched or read the Goosebumps book Say Cheese or Die when coming up with this?
I don't know, because I don't know. I've never read that. So,
okay. I think probably a lot, because
let's just say a lot.
Now the next one is favorite death in a Sinister franchise.
Probably the hanging.
Yeah. Now I will also give a little bit more of information, because I watched the first Sinister and loved it / hated it so much. I've never seen the second Sinister.
Well, I'm glad I didn't say what my other favorite would have been, because it would have been from two. So never mind.
Yeah. I've never seen the second Sinister. I've shied away from it because I feel like a little bitch when I watch the first one. So, yeah. So, definitely the hanging then.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay. And then Tiff, another, you know, becoming mainstay here. She just had a comment. It was, oh my God, I love Sinister. I think it's highly underrated. Scary as fuck.
Agreed.
But I do think Sinister is one of those movies that's not classified as a hidden gem for us, because it does receive a lot of love.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people really like gush over this movie, and it's rightfully so.
Okay. Yeah. You know, it definitely deserves it.
It just petrifies me. That's all.
That's good. It's hard. So,
it's hard to scare me with things. Yeah. But this movie, like I said earlier, just hits me with that right amount of visual audio, just, and it kills me.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we end the episode talking a little bit about something special in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Somebody is hitting Dirty 30.
Yeah. So, you know.
On Saturday, the 18th, I put the entire episode in Josh's hands. He got to pick the verses and the remake, and he got to pick the horror club, and he gets to pick the video game news. He's going to do basically like, and he also can pick the list as well. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The top five, which we still have to record after this, because
we totally went past that. Oh, my God.
So we're actually going to be recording the list after the end of the episode today. And it's going to be weird.
Fuck.
But that's not going to take long. We can make that segment go by super quick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
The only reason why I remembered it is because I looked over and saw my piece of paper folded and it says top five on it.
Oh my God.
So, yeah. But either way, 2 weeks is Josh's B-Day. I'm going to get him super duper baked. We have my alien pipe that he had got me for Christmas, Santimus.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to fill that some bitch up twice and we're going to die. And
I'm super excited.
I'm super excited for you, because I like the movies you picked all around.
Thank you.
1000%.
That makes me happy.
I can't wait to do it. And also episode 38, like the theme, you know, mm-hmm. how we have like our mm-hmm. pictures that we put up. It's going to be birthdayed out. It's going to be different.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So, this is the end of the episode for you guys, but we have to go back and record one more segment real quick.
Wait, we're dumb.
So go ahead and listen to Miss Amber Brooke at the end of the episode. Follow all the links, click on everything, follow everybody, do everything you got to do. We will see you 2 and 2 for Josh's birthday bonanza.
Pre-birthday bonanza.
But it's still a fucking...
I'm going to be fucking 30.
You're going to be 30. How does that make you feel?
Weird. Very weird.
Yeah. Corey's going to be 18.
Yeah, great.
All right, see you guys in 2 weeks.
Bye, love you.
Bye.
I'm gonna come.
So this isn't gonna be part of the actual recording, but holy shit, good call.
Thanks.
One, because I pressed record previously, and I was like, yeah, I should have done a check, and Josh was like, yeah, you should have. But when we went to go listen to it, it wasn't there. because we didn't have our mixer up. So what originally intended, like what was going to end up being a an outtake,
yeah,
turned into something we couldn't use anyway. Ow. Because Ow. It literally didn't record. That's wild.
Hooray.
Yeah.
It's a good thing we do check. We do check. Maybe, maybe, maybe.
So now this is going to be the outtake. And we begin the episode with Josh throwing his phone onto the desk.
Wait, did you press record again?
I pressed record right before that.
So, delete it.
Hey, everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody. Guess who it is? Guess who the fuck it is? It's Rob.
I'm going to say our names first.
And I'm what the fuck?
And I'm Pinky fucking Blinders.
Why did we completely skip like the script? You just... We went to old non-format horror wars.